I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from San Luis Obispo. We're out by the airport right now at a very nondescript research and development facility. It's owned by SRAM International. It's a bicycle components development company. And we're here with Will King, engineer. Tell us a little bit background about SRAM and how it came to have a facility here in San Luis Obispo, because you're international. I went on your website and there's Germany there.
SRAM started, we started in 1987. We celebrated our 30th anniversary this year.
Where did it start?
Started in Chicago with the invention of the grip shift. Rotate your grip to shift the gears on your bike, and that's our foundation product. So it started there, and the way that we came to be out here is there was a company called Truvative, and SRAM bought Truvative, and then we continued on developing product out here.
So you have a real specific niche in your R&D here, the pedals and cranks. Talk to us about some of the things you're doing here.
Yeah, so we do front drivetrain for the bicycle here, road and mountain drivetrain. So some of the product that we worked on here won World Cup gold medals in the past Olympics, and you see it in the Tour de France as well.
In the RockShox, do you do some of that?
RockShox is a name brand of ours, and the development's in Colorado Springs. So not too involved with that here.
One of the things that you showed me on your open house tour was your wireless derailleur. That's really cool.
Yeah, it is. Wireless shifting.
Not only does it streamline from the mechanical standpoint of the cabling that no longer has to go from A to B.
Yeah, it really just simplifies it for our customer, not having to design all those cable routings into the bicycle frame.
So how many employees do you have here and what do they work on?
So we're just over 30 employees here. We work on, the whole goal is product development of bicycle front drivetrain. And so we've got anywhere from engineers, test engineers and technicians and machinists and everything to get us from prototype to a developed product.
So as you know, the real reason I came here has to do with a nonprofit organization that SRAM is intimately involved in supporting. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, so that's World Bicycle Relief. We've had a launched the program through SRAM and tight partnership supporting World Bicycle Relief. And then locally here, we've done 7 annual fundraisers over the last 6 years. And you attended one of them just a couple weeks ago.
Talk in real specifics, because it's utterly fascinating to me what you're doing with the World Bicycle Relief. You are backing and supporting the manufacturer of rugged, durable, kind of outback bicycles for people in Africa and Asia and whatnot. Talk to us specifics about that.
Okay, so World Bicycle Relief, sometimes shortened as WBR. Basically, the goal that we're going for is we're mobilizing people in need in communities where a bicycle can make a difference, similar to an automobile in our developed countries.
It really is. It's a life game changer for these people, because without a bicycle, some of these kids could not go to school, for example.
Absolutely. The recipients of the donated bikes are people that have to walk, say, 11 miles to get to school, and they can't take care of their chores at home. And so that particular student will be the one that receives a bike, so their attendance can increase and then also their test scores.
And then there's that whole kind of business offshoot of the viability of the bicycle that assists.
Right. So World Bicycle Relief being basically launched in 2005, we figured out in 2008 that we needed to spin off the business side of it, where we could sell bicycles and use the profits from selling those bicycles locally to then reduce the price of donation for healthcare and educational people in need of the bikes.
Say if I wanted to fund one of the bicycles, is what, $147?
Yeah, $147 gets the bike in the hands of a student or healthcare worker, all costs included in that donation process.
One of the fascinating aspects of the program has to do with the stat that approximately 70%, if I remember correctly, of the bicycles are donated to females. And there's a specific reason why, and it has to do with mitigating rape.
You know, we're talking about areas where walking to school might be shortened by taking a motorcycle ride to school, and then the compensation for that motorcycle ride is something that we'd activities we don't really want to see happening. So the independence that it gives those young women is huge. It's not just getting to school, it's getting to school safely.
Reading some of the literature on the program, little girls walking to school and they can be nabbed by the cane workers and yanked into the fields and get real ugly.
Yeah, I don't know any more specifics, but I know every bike makes a huge, huge difference. And, you know, when I promote this, I capture the you know, what it, a difference it makes to have an automobile in our developed countries, and the bike is doing equally as much.
You went to Africa and you spent time on the ground there and were with the kids and saw firsthand that experience of them getting the bicycle and the life-changing experience. Talk to us about some of your recollections and memories of that time.
Well, probably the most significant day was where we went to a school donation of 200 bikes. At the time, we had raised funds here locally in the San Luis community for 5 years, and the amount of funds we had raised equated to about 200 bikes, and that happened to be what we were distributing to the school that day. Chiwanga is the name of the school in Zambia, and just putting this in perspective, it was, you know, all the tribe leaders were there, every significant community person was there, these 200 children were there, and all of their parental figures were there, ready to accept these bike donations that were going to change the community, mobilize the community completely. And every one of these children were just asking, well, why me? Why am I so fortunate that I get this? And the big picture is that everyone's working together to get these bicycles donated, but also to give these people the hope and the opportunity and change their community so they can be more mobile, they can get to school, and they can go do the chores that their family needs.
And there's that economic spin-off of the bicycle. I remember in your video, there was the guy with the big pail of milk that now he could deliver.
Yeah, and so that side of it is basically the community saying, hey, I'm not a student or a healthcare worker, but the Buffalo bike is really robust, and I'd love to be able to buy one. And so we set up programs where a bike can be paid off over a couple months, or they can just straight up buy the bicycle without the cost of the donation in there. And actually, some of these people end up being our greatest product developers because they have the most stringent use on the bike. For instance, hauling a pail full of milk to the milk co-op, the dairy co-op. And so they break them and they feed back to us how it could be better. And we're not talking about a United States bicycle that's light and made of aluminum or carbon fiber. We're talking about a 52-pound steel bike with a rack that'll hold 225 pounds in the back.
So it's a real industrial model of a bicycle, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Some of our marketing there is you can carry five times the weight with a bicycle than you can carry yourself, and travel three times the distance in an equal amount of time. And so, yeah.
And then there's the other dimension that you guys figured out, and that's one thing to bring and deliver bicycles brand new to a village, but it's kind of the then what? What happens when they break and if they break? And so training of mechanics locally is an adjunct of what you do.
Yeah, so today we've, since 2005, we've donated approximately 360,000 bicycles, which is a lot of bicycles and could equate to a big pile of metal junk without the support of the mechanics. And so we've trained over 1,600 mechanics. And the idea is when those bicycle distributions happen, then there's the leaders in the community have also set up those mechanics and employed those people to be able to help and take care of the bikes. Because a bike with a flat tire isn't going to get you very far.
And so as I remember the process of delivering the bicycles, they are shipped in Sealand shipping containers in bulk and then assembled in Africa or whatever country they're going to. Talk to us about that process.
Yeah, so I just visited the Zambian facility in Lusaka. And, you know, basically the idea behind World Bicycle Relief is employ all the local people to help change and mobilize their people. You know, all the bikes are put together and assembled there and tuned and then prepared for distribution that way. And then, you know, the healthcare workers that are receiving it and the children that are receiving the bikes as well, all of that is negotiated and put together by local employees or local people that are helping their countrymen out.
Talk a little bit more about the healthcare dynamic, because that's a real important component of the program.
Yeah, the healthcare dynamic really sprouted things early on in a partnership with some AIDS relief from U.S. funds in Zambia. And World Bicycle Relief committed to supplying bicycles to all of the healthcare workers. And the idea being that when the community had about 30% of the people with HIV, that we need to get out to all those people and tell them, you need to come and get the medication and get on the HRV drug so that your risk of transmission is lower and that your health side effects are lower. And so when we were in Africa, I asked one of the ladies, I said, what's the farthest you've gone in one day? And basically equated to she rode 60 miles one way to go see somebody.
Wow. Pretty incredible.
Wouldn't have happened if she was walking.
Yeah, no kidding. Then I remember you told me a story. You were at a hotel and one of the employees wanted a bicycle.
Yeah, that was actually one of the more touching stories. Is a gentleman that was checking me into the room says, do you work for Buffalo Bicycles? And Buffalo Bicycles is the entity that makes the bicycle. And I said, well, no, I don't, but I'd like to buy one. And so I said, oh, well, we have all these bikes for the kids tomorrow, but we could get you an extra one. He said, I have to leave. I have to go home, but I'll see you in the morning. And, you know, just stay around. We'll go find Dave. And so he comes back in the morning, and I ask him where he lived. And so we had driven down a road for an hour and a half, a rough gravel road for an hour and a half to get there. That was about 13 miles back down the road, and that's where he lived. And he had to go.
He walked that every day.
He walked there and back every day. And so when we left that lodge, we had set up six of the employees were going to get bicycles and be able to pay it back over the next 6 months.
Very, very cool. For further information about Buffalo Bicycles, World Bicycle Relief.
So you can go to worldbicerelief.org, and you can find the promotional videos there and learn more about the Buffalo bike. And you can also check us out next July when we do another open house, Tour de Tram.
Here in San Luis Obispo, California.
That's right. Yep.
Very cool. And so to learn more about SRAM?
SRAM.com. You know, go from there. Learn about bike parts.
Will King, thank you for sharing. What a wonderful experience.
Thank you so much, Tom. Appreciate the opportunity.
You're very welcome. I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from San Luis Obispo, California at SRAM International's R&D facility. Yes, I know you're
not, yes, You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory, produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com. Yes, I'm a young man.